Blog Talk Radio.
Folks, I hope you're having a fantastic day. You know, this is our this is Tuesday. We're in the second chapter of Bob Budine's book, The Power of Who. And I tell you what, I've been stoked as I've gone back through this book, studying it again, because I do believe that it can set the precedent for where you're going in a new year. And, you know, every day, I got to say this before we get into the book, every day we all have something that hits us. You know, I had a day yesterday, I mean, the day was rocking, and then by the time the night ended up, it's like I have this situation. It's always, you know, it's either personal or professional. And I'm looking at it thinking, okay, what part am I not getting? You know, I never look at other people and say, what part are they not getting? I figure it must be a way that I'm not communicating. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to relax. And took the evening, just relax, regrouping, going through some different books, different reading material, going through Bob's book again, reading the book of Proverbs, which was written by the ancient Hebrew kings, Solomon. Just a beautiful book, and it's helped me in business numerous times. And I thought, man, this is just a great day for this, because it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how positive you are, or the law of attraction, or any of that. There are going to be days when something gets to you, and you need the power of who. And I was able to read through some things, reach out to some people, and get a little bit of inner perspective that I needed to be able to come into today and say, okay, man, it's a bright new day. Let's go out there and change the lives of people that we work for or work with, either case. And here today we're in discovery. And it's fun to watch how Bob writes, because he writes in this passionate manner that really explains what he's feeling, how he helps other people. He says, this is how he starts this chapter out. He says, something profound was going on beneath the surface, something that I would later come to understand as a dynamic principle at work. I began to notice that operating in the lives of people with whom I would interact. But it took me a while to connect the dots on exactly what it was. I soon discovered that this principle has always been there, but because of its subtle nature, it tends to remain hidden. It's like gravity and wind. You can't actually see them, but their effect is obvious. This powerful principle has been utilized by successful dream seekers throughout time. It's not complicated. It's really simple. Now, I'm going to give it to you, but you got to get a pen and paper out, because you got to write this down. Here it is. You already know everyone you need to know. You already know everyone you need to know. Now, I sat here and I started thinking about this, and it reminded me of something I heard a while back about Kevin Bacon. It says there's about a 6-degree separation between Kevin Bacon and everyone in the world. And it's humorous, but they go through this scenario, and they actually show where somebody within 6 people in your life will know Kevin Bacon. And I thought, man, if what Bob's saying here, you already know everyone you need to know, then it sure makes a change in some of the stuff that we believe. It changes some of the things that we've heard, and it should open up some new paradigms if you're in sales of any kind. All of a sudden, looking back at what they call old school direct selling, where they say, go out and talk to your friends and family. I got to thinking about that and thought, wow, there might be something here in this discovery that Bob has come up with. And he goes on and he writes this. He says, if you really want to pursue a worthy goal or make significant change in your life, you don't go external in your approach. You go internal. Here's what most people do. They start looking outside their WHO network, who their friends are, thinking their success will be found out there somewhere. It's a false notion to think that your success will come from a bunch of people you don't know. And I got to thinking about that. Now, this is something that I've been preaching for years. It's not new. He's absolutely right. Tony Robbins has talked about it. Think and Grow Rich has talked about it. Dale Carnegie talked about it. John Maxwell has talked about it. Crying out loud, Seth Godin just last week in his book Lynchpin was talking about it. It's not new, but yet why is it that we don't do this? We have been told most of our careers in sales, talk to your friends and family. At least if you're in direct sales and you're doing a B2C approach, a business to consumer. If you're a business to business, we've not even been taught this. because most people say you got to cold call. You got to go knock on doors. I started thinking about this. Started looking at what he was saying. What's the reason why when you go to your friends and family, they say no? Or what? Better yet, why is it you don't go to your friends and family when you start a new business? Why is it that you would rather go hang out on the internet with perfect strangers, cranking out the numbers, never becoming financially independent, but it makes you feel better than going and talking to friends and family? This is what this chapter is going to be about. This is the discovery that he's made. He says this too, and I thought this was unique. He says, don't expect strangers or even acquaintances to care about you or your goals unless they perceive a desired benefit for themselves. Don't expect strangers or even acquaintances to care about you or your goals unless they perceive a desired benefit for themselves. I remember not too long ago I sent Richard Brooke, the founder of 2110 and the leader over at OxyFresh, an email. We've had him on the radio show a couple of times this year, and Richard's just a dynamic man. And in that email I was asking him some questions. And this is what a true friend, a who friend will do. He responded back to me and said, I think you're totally wrong. I don't think what you're wanting to do is a need or even a desire for the majority of the people you're wanting to contact. And this was not what we do now. This was something specific. He goes, I've got an idea. And he shares an idea with me. And I thought, wow. No strings attached, nothing. It's because he cared and because he had seen value in our relationship that he was willing to give back value. He also knew me from the inside out. He knew my values. He knows my core beliefs. Richard could be called a competitor since I now help facilitate the growth of a competing company in direct selling. But yet just last week we were on the phone for almost an hour as I interviewed him and his leadership and the success that he's having at 2110. See, true friends in your WHO network are going to be people that you associate with, people that you love, people that know you, people that could be competitors, but you guys have built a personal relationship. How can you get this type of love from a perfect stranger? Bob goes on, he writes, most people will treat you with civilness and courtesy. He goes, I don't mean that the caring quotient goes away. I'm just saying that the caring quotient goes up as a relationship deepens. So culture your field of dreams with your WHO friends. See, I'm a firm believer that we already know the right people. We're just afraid to talk to them. A lot of times it's because we haven't really been explained how we should talk to them. So what we end up doing is we see somebody, we shake their hands, and we want to puke about our business all over them. My good friend Tom Chenault wrote something on Facebook today. He said, I took a minute yesterday and put aside the what's in it for me attitude and put out there what's in it for them attitude. See, every day that's where we should be at. We should be focused on what's in it for the people that we're going to be talking to. What's in it for the people that we want to go associate with. See, we have an agenda. We want something. We need to pay our bills, whatever the case is. But most of the time, because we're approaching it wrong, we're not approaching it from a friendship standpoint. Because of the fact we never seem to talk to our friends except when we want something, we can't blame them for putting up their wall every now and then. See, think about this. What's hindering you from getting off the dime? This is what Bob writes. He goes, I'll tell you, you haven't employed the power of partnering. If you're going to write a book, you need a good editor or someone to read it who is a sounding board. And I know that page does that all the time. If you're serious about becoming a pilot, you need a flight instructor, and that's what Jimmy does. And if you're going to be on a diet and get into shape, you need a program and a good trainer. That's what all these great companies are in direct selling for the most part. So why is it that we don't do the same thing? How many times have you heard this phrase? And this is an old cliche. Matter of fact, I was on a website earlier today and shook my head when I saw it. Self-made man. Self-made millionaire. Self-made entrepreneur. Self-made woman. What's that really mean? See, that's an inward focused. That's somebody trying to take a cliche, an antiquated cliche, and use it. It's supposed to mean that they've come up from the bottom. They worked their way up. They weren't surrounded probably with a silver or the gold spoon. But I would challenge that phrase. I would challenge anyone that uses that phrase to really think if it lines up with their personal principles and values. See, there is no way that you can be self-made. Not talking about this from a spiritual creation, evolution, any of that. I'm talking about from a professional standpoint. Everyone has to have somebody that's around them. And if you're trying to do it alone, I would challenge you to call me or to send me an email and tell me one career, one professional thing that you can do by yourself and become an expert at it. Everybody needs somebody. We're just created that way, to be honest. Here's what Bob writes, and I think this is a very powerful statement. He says, each one of these endeavors and thousands more that you could name require a certain level of personal involvement with other people. People serve as catalysts. And that's a true statement. I had somebody that when I've said this in the past on training shows, he wrote me and he said, Troy, I don't need anybody to teach me how to do what I do. I clean toilets. And I responded back to him and said, but how did you learn to clean those toilets? How did you become the expert that you are today at serving people and providing them with a clean place in public where they can take care of their own personal needs? See, everyone has to get some type of an education from somebody else that's gone before them. None of us are self-made, but yet we try to act that way, especially in sales. We want to try to do it all of ourselves instead of listening to what others have done. It's tough sometimes. Sometimes we get in the battle and we're out there and we want to do something and somebody else's agenda wants to take us away from what the big picture is. And all of a sudden we get frustrated. But if we can just start, if today's the starting point, to snap that word again, today's the catalyst. Today's going to be the agent of change where you're going to decide we're going to do this different. When you think about it, that's the hardest part, isn't it? Getting started is the hardest part. Think of a big old locomotive train. Now, I own some railroad stocks, and I fell in love with trains as a kid. When that steam engine starts up, when that electric engine starts up, doesn't matter what it is, those wheels start to spin until they heat up and they get friction. But then once the friction starts in the track, that train starts rolling. And then the weight of every one of those cars starts pressing it forward in a dynamic progression that in some cases is almost unstoppable. That's what you need to be doing. That's where you need to be at when you think about this. See, it's a sense of empowerment once you take those first steps. Once you've broken through that barrier, and you've started in the right direction again. You're out of the rest stop. You crank. Here's what Bob writes. If I challenge you to stop right now and refocus your efforts on pursuing a lifelong dream or even a short-term goals, what would it be? Answer that question personally. I mean, think about it. If there was one thing that you could refocus on and start right now, whether it's a lifelong goal or a lifelong dream or just a short-term goal, what would it be? Now, Bob asked two other questions. Who would you call for assistance, and how many would you call? That's number one. And second, have you ever stopped long enough to think about who your network is? Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm gonna share a little bit about the position that I just took. As a position of Senior Vice President of Sales, when you look at my employment agreement, one of the goals, one of the things that I have to do is attract some founding consultants with our company. That is something the field does. That's something that is my responsibility. I have a specific number over a year period in which I need to attract that will be working directly with the company. I can guarantee you I'm looking at my WHO network. I can guarantee you I'm calling other CEOs of other companies, and I'm saying, hey, who's somebody that's lost their love with what you guys are doing, but somebody that you trust, somebody that needs a new challenge? You'd be amazed at how open and honest CEOs are when they love their field force and they want the best for them. I'm calling professional trainers that I know, and I'm asking them, hey, who do you know? Who have you come in contact with lately that's looking for an opportunity? See, to qualify at the position that I'm talking about, you've already got to have been there. I'm looking for some solid people, men and women. And I'm looking in my WHO network. But most of the time, we don't do this. Most of the time, we want to go put ads up on the internet. We want to do some split testing. We want to get the PPC and see what's happening. And we want to do some marketing. We forget about just calling some buds and talking to them, seeing what's going on, seeing if they have it in them one more time, finding that lovely woman who's saying, I want to be somebody, I want to make a difference. We did it once, we can do it again type deal. Now let's bring it down on a traditional level. Who in your life have you not talked to yet? Jeff Hooks, one of the great, great leaders over at Vima. When we were talking about, I don't know, a couple months ago, 3 months ago now, I said, Jeff, you're going to build a second wave. You're doing it all over again, man. I'm excited for you. I'm proud of you. What are you going to be doing? And he started laughing. He said, dude, listen to this. In all of my years, in all of my success in direct selling, I've never once talked to my friends and my family. There was never a need to really do that. He goes, I'm doing it now. I believe I'm going to build bigger, faster, better, and stronger than I ever had in the past because I'm going back to what really life is all about, and that's helping your friends and family. This comes from a guy that's a multimillionaire that's had great success in inside and outside of the direct selling arena. See, that's where you and I have to be at today. We have got to look at that and say, hey, we can be that person. We can do that. Sure, it's tough getting started. But if you'll just make a point today to start talking to some people, sharing with them, letting them know you love them, don't just go start talking about your business. Truly care about them and how you can help their lives. That's when the sky's the limit. I'm not going to go into the story in Bob's book, but I would challenge y'all to do something. Go get the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Study that movie and see what happens once George in there decides to call on his friends and family instead of strangers. See, I think at the end of the day, that's the key. And I think based on what Bob is saying and analyzing this, I think here's what happens. We go and we're busting our butt as an entrepreneur, and for whatever reason, that first endeavor that we go on, we fail at it. It just doesn't make it. Could be a network marketing company. Could be a pharmaceutical job we have. Could be a business that we launch. Doesn't matter, whatever it is. Could be real estate for that matter. We fail. We're embarrassed. We're humiliated. We don't want our friends to know what happened because we were so gung-ho a week ago that everything was going to be great. And our pride takes over. It's funny, the foolishness of pride. We let our pride get up there. We all of a sudden decide we're just going to fake it till we make it, and we'll go talk to strangers because they don't know who we are. And then we fail again, and we fail again, and we fail again. all our friends see is failures. They see that we never get anything done. But what would have happened had we called on our friends in the beginning? If we'd have called on our WHO network, our community of friends, what would it have been? See, I think that's the key. And how many of us, I mean, when you think about this, we've been planting seeds of friendships for how many years now? 20, 30, 40? We've been out there watering the crops, watching the harvest come in, but yet we've never picked it. It's just sitting there, all bundled up, waiting for us. We build friendships, true friends. I'm not talking about Facebook crap. I'm talking about true friendships. You build friendships based on like-minded values and principles. You want to surround yourself with people that believe and think the way that you believe and think. So what would happen if you got creative all of a sudden? What would happen if all of a sudden you started talking to some people and say, I got an idea. I want to build something that we can all benefit from. I want to do something that nobody else has done. And you start talking to people. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of the hour that I was reading in the book of Proverbs that was written by King Solomon. He also wrote another book called Ecclesiastes. Bob puts it in here. It's Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls, and no one's there to pick him up. See, this is the cool thing. We've been taught to go out to all these networking events and network with people who everybody has the same agenda. Build my business, not build my friendships. Some groups only let one person of one type of industry or niche into the group. That way there's no competition. What kind of friendship is that? How about if we just start all going out and making friends with people? How about the next time you go to the store, you ask the cashier what her name is? See, that's the key. I received an email today from a gentleman. And last Friday when I did the weekly MLM news report, I mentioned in there that I have a pastor friend out of Atlanta. Successful direct seller. He's looking for somebody that he can mentor, somebody that might be interested in truly losing weight and creating a story that they could be proud of so that they could share with others. This gentleman sends me an email and says, Troy, I don't know if I'm the kind of guy that your pastor friend might be wanting to mentor, but I'm 5'9 and I weigh 300 pounds and I'm sick and tired of being fat. And I just sat there and looked at it. See, I'm not in his WHO network, but yet I've built enough trust that he was willing to send me an email with his name. He reached out. I'm sure because I do so many videos that there are certain people, just like in Hollywood, they see you so many times they think they know you. And that's cool. I mean, that's part of what video marketing is about. Here's somebody that saw a video, wanted to take me up on the offer of my friend in Atlanta. And it's like, that's the WHO network, really. An extended WHO, but it's the WHO network. See, right now, we've got to look at this. You've got to understand that we're not designed to be alone. We're designed to be out there putting something together, building a WHO, talking to that. That's the key to it all. We've got to realize that we can't do it our own way. We can't do it by ourselves. We got to go out there and we got to surround ourselves with the WHO network. You know, yesterday, I read the 12 principles, guidelines, of friendship. And some of you may not have been on that call, and some of you are, but I think it's so important that I'm going to read them again today in the last 5 minutes that we have. I strongly suggest if you haven't written these down that you do. These are the guidelines for who your friend should be. A true friend, number one, a true friend gives unconditional love. A true friend is someone who simply loves you for no good reason, no strings attached. They will be there and do their best to help you just because. Number two, a true friend will try to help you right now. When you call for help, the answer is yes. An acquaintance merely wishes you well. I've met a lot of acquaintances in direct selling over the last 2 or 3 months. It's amazing. Number three, a true friend wants you to succeed and seeks to empower you as you pursue your dreams. A true friend is a chisel, helping you to carve away those areas in your life that hold you back from fulfilling your dream. A true friend holds you accountable to your stated goals and objectives. They have earned an all-access backstage pass to your life. This is how Richard Brook, Jim Gilhouse, and others are like. Number six, a true friend is someone who knows the song in your heart and can sing it back to you when you have forgotten the words. You've lost that job, when your number one guys quit, when the prospecting fell through, when the company jumped ship on you. Number seven, a true friend has no ulterior motive and is always loyal, always on your side, always true blue all the way through. Can't go wrong there. Number eight, a true friend is a trusted secret keeper. Knows you well enough to know your secrets and keeps them, and you know their character well enough to know they will never betray you. Number nine, I love this. A true friend has forged an inevitable impression in your heart, in your soul, that has altered your life in a positive way. Number 10, a true friend brings out the best in you and shares your core values, the important pillars that support your life. A true friend will go out of their way to do things for you that would never cross the mind of a merely friend acquaintance. Let me say that one again. A true friend will go out of their way to do things for you that would never cross the mind of a mere friendly acquaintance. And number 12, a true friend doesn't need you to be anybody other than who you are, but is glad to see you become something more. Folks, that's the ones that you've got to look at. You've got to look at those things and think in your mind, who are my friends? See, if you start leaning on your who, things start to change. Listen to this. One of the greatest mistakes in business today is that most people never reach out for help, never lean on their who in times of need. Big mistakes. There have been many times in my life when I needed a friend to lean on, but there were many times when I chose the wrong who. Have you ever done that? Why is it that so many of us turn to the wrong people in time of need and vulnerability? It goes back to, I think, pride. We've got to break through that pride. Listen to what Bob writes. This is powerful. Every significant event or milestone in your life will always involve your who. You don't have to go out and start putting it together because it's already present in your life. You just have to implement the three R's. Write this down. Remember, reach out, and reconnect. You just have to implement the three R's. Remember, reach out, and reconnect. I know that's kind of crazy. It goes against the traditional culture of money, power, and fame, and that everything you do should be about you with that altar. But I'm telling you, if you'll just connect, the sky will be the limit. You won't have to worry any longer. From this point forward, here's what you need to resolve to do, and then we're done for the day. You're going to nurture and help your who to achieve their dreams and goals. And you won't deprive them the joy of helping you reach yours. Folks, thanks for hanging out with us on Radio for Your Mind. Tomorrow, Your Who World, Chapter 3 of Bob Boudin's book, The Power of Who. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning on Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.